1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 through 19. We have yet another section. This is now the third section in a row in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We are dealing with command, contrast, and concept. Paul has three sections going. Verses 1 through 5, we saw the priority of the gifts. That prophecy, or the giving forth of the Word of God, has priority in the church over speaking in tongues. Because speaking in tongues, as they were using it in the church in Corinth, they were edifying themselves. It edifies no one else. But the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was teaching that prophecy edifies the church. The giving forth of the Word of God edifies and develops the church. Teaching and preaching is for development. Tongues, as we will see next week when we study the purpose of tongues, in the only place in the Bible where it's taught about tongues, verses 20 to 25 next week, is that tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Prophecy is for the believer. So, in the church, if it takes place within the church, individually in Corinth, they were being edified within themselves, but no one else was understanding and no one else was being developed. Prophecy has priority in the church. It's for the teaching of the Word of God and the development of the believer. The second thing that we saw last week in verses 6 to 12, the profitability of the gifts. Again, if one speaks in a tongue, he edifies and builds up himself. If one prophesies, he edifies and builds up the church. There is no benefit, there is no profit unless you can understand what is being said. And what is being said is for teaching. He told us, under the priority of gifts, that prophecy is for building up, for comfort, and for encouragement. So it takes priority over all things, the ministry of the Word of God. Today, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer, verses 13 through 19. And again, we have command, verse 13. We have contrast, verses 14 through 17. We have the concept in verses 18 and 19. Same formula Paul's been using in the first three sections. Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at verse 13. On account of which indeed, the one speaking in a tongue, here's the command, let him pray in order that he might interpret. We've studied the word interpret. The word interpret means to explain, does not mean to translate. The word tongue means language. Again, this verse is, on account of which indeed, the one speaking in a language, let him pray in order that he might explain. For if I should pray in a tongue, doesn't say he does, it's a subjunctive mood showing possibility. For if I should speak in a tongue or a language, my spirit, and please notice this gives you your identification, that in this text Paul is talking about his spirit and his understanding, not the Holy Spirit. For if I should pray in a language, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. Those of you in the Greek class, the word for understanding is the word nous, for perception. My perceptive processes, my perception of and understanding of things is unfruitful. What is it, therefore? I will pray in the Spirit. He's talking about his spirit. His prayer takes place in your spirit. It is not religious. Even Jesus himself taught not to pray repetitious prayer as the heathen do, the religious people do. This is spiritual. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and also I will sing with the understanding. Since if you should bless in the Spirit, the one occupying the place of the uninstructed, how will he say the Amen over your giving of thanks since he does not know what you're saying. For you're giving of thanks, you do it well, but the other one is not built up. That's the word edification in King James. I give thanks to my God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in church, I desire to speak 5 words with my understanding in order that another might be verbally instructed. Then myriads of words, translated 10,000 in English, but it's the word meaning infinity. Then myriads of words in a tongue. Well, he kind of puts it out there for us, doesn't he? But first of all, the command in verse 13. The command by Paul is that if one is going to be speaking in a language, let him pray that he may give explanation for what he is saying. He left off in verse 12 by saying that the one who prophesies has priority and profitability over the one who speaks in tongue, unless the one who speaks in tongue explains so that the church may be edified. The explanation of the tongue, as we found in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with various languages of the people that were represented there that were attending the feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. They heard the disciples speak, everyone in his own language. But they asked the question, what does this mean? What is this? How is it that we hear hear the wonderful works of God in our own language by these men who don't know our language? Peter gives the explanation. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it is a sign to you, and he called for repentance. And of course, thousands in Jerusalem repented. That is the purpose for tongues or languages. It is a sign to the unbeliever. In Corinth, as we saw last week, and I encouraged you, if you have an encyclopedia set, to read up on the pagan mystic religions in your encyclopedia, because it will tell you and give you information that the pagan ritual back in Paul's day was to come into a church or come into a religious setting and try to get as emotionally high as they could. In fact, some couldn't even reach the high. They actually served alcoholic beverages at the door of the church so that the people would actually be beyond their mind in their experience. Passing out was the ultimate spiritual experience, getting so high on the things of the Lord. Some of them carried this over into the worship services in Corinth, the Christian worship services. They were the same people that experienced the same thing. They would both sing and they would both pray in their spirit, but not with their understanding. And they said this was spiritual. I don't know what I'm singing, but I know what I'm feeling. Have you ever had that experience? I don't know what I'm praying, but I feel the prayer. There's no understanding, there's no perception to it whatsoever. Paul is correcting that, and please understand that this is a correctional letter that Paul is writing to these Christians who are experiencing the same thing as the pagan mystic religions. That if anything requires thinking, avoid it. If anything requires understanding, forget it. That's not spiritual. That's human. You have to let go. You let the Spirit lead. And it has to be beyond what the Holy Spirit is showing you from the Word of God. And that is supposed to be spiritual. Paul, in this text, is correcting that. The command in verse 13 is, if a person is going to speak in a language, let him pray in order that he may also be able to explain, so that the church can receive some kind of benefit from the tongue or language that is given. Here's the contrast. The reason given in verse 14. What you are doing, he says, is you are praying. If I should pray like you are praying, I would be praying in with my spirit, but my understanding would be unfruitful. He's making an emphasis on the word nous for perception and for understanding. So basically he's saying, if you pray, whether it's in a tongue, in a language, or let's just take prayer in general. If you pray and you have no understanding about what you're praying, he says, that is wrong. That is beyond your relationship with the Lord. It is no longer intimate and personal between your heart and mind, which are the main faculties of intimacy with the Lord. The Lord dwells in my spirit, folks. For every believer, the Lord fills your spirit, and from your spirit, the Holy Spirit ministers to your psyche. And He is changing and transforming and renewing our minds. That's why we emphasize that series on Satan's only weapon against a believer. Once you are saved, the battle is for your mind. Jesus Christ has your spirit. But Satan is battling to get your attention. Because from the moment that you receive Jesus Christ on until the day that you pass away or go to be with the Lord is changing and transforming and renewing our minds from within, from our spirit. If I get caught up in a movement that says, bypass your brain, bypass your understanding, your spiritual perceptive processes, that is not of the Lord. On the other hand, it is also not of the Lord to just dwell with the psyche. The Christian Science movement also is not of the Lord because it's purely metaphysical. I had a chance to deal with that this week too over the internet, and somebody talking about the prayer of Jabez, praying the prayer of Jabez, and how that if you practice it, God's given it to us in His Word to practice, and if you practice it, it works. Metaphysical practices work. The question is whether it's the Holy Spirit doing it or I'm practicing psychic powers and tapping into psychic powers and making it happen. It is possible for me to make things happen with my psychic powers. So there is a metaphysical movement as well. The metaphysical movement is the practice of the psyche. That also is wrong. It's both. It's God's Spirit filling our spirit and by His Holy Spirit ministering to and through our thought processes. So the understanding process is unfruitful. There's no understanding at all. So verse 15 is the solution to this problem. Paul says, when I pray, I am going to pray in my spirit. I am also going to pray with my understanding also. I'm going to pray with both. It'll be both spiritual and psychological, but not psychological psuche, but psychological nous. When I pray, it is going to be in my spirit, and it is going to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to give me a spiritual perception of what I am praying. This is a relationship between me and Jesus Christ. To bypass the brain is not spiritual. To look to leave your body and to leave the human realm in some kind of religious experience is not spiritual. Jesus Christ is real. And He has a personal, intimate relationship with all of His people. So Paul says in verse 15, when I pray in my spirit, I am also going to pray with my understanding. When I sing with my spirit, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 tells us that we are to make a melody in our hearts to the Lord under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, when I pray in my spirit, I'm also going to sing in my understanding also. And that's interesting. Some of the things that we've shared, and we all differ in this. This is not doctrine as far as what songs we sing. But I started off in a church where I learned the old hymns. We sang the old hymns, and we were told that the choruses that that the youth were singing of the day were not of the Lord. It's part of chanting and working up into a euphoric experience. Then I got into a church where we sang all choruses. We did not sing any of the old hymns at all. All we did was sing choruses in our worship of the Lord. Well, since we've been out here pastoring for the last few years, some of the words of the old hymns have come back and have meant so much to me because of the words that are written, because of the words that we're singing. I love some of the old choruses too, which we also sing. But it is interesting that when we pray, when we praise the Lord and sing to the Lord, it is not only supposed to be in our spirit that we sing praises to Him from, that is making melody in our heart to the Lord, but it is also with understanding. I found myself in the past with some songs that I repeated the songs over and over again to the point that I didn't even know what I was singing anymore. I fell into this little groove, this little beat, this little groove that it psychologically and emotionally took me up to, and I kept singing the same chorus over and over and over again, but I found out that I lost all consciousness. I wasn't even aware of what I was singing anymore. It's just what I was feeling. And I found myself later in years starting going back over some of the old hymns and some of the words and some of the rich expressions of praise and the rich expressions of the things of the Lord that are found in those words. When the Lord has us sing to Him and to, when He receives melody from our heart, it is not supposed to be just in spirit, but it's supposed to be with understanding as well, as we sing some of the words to our songs to the Lord. Verses 16 and 17, in defense of this presentation, Paul says, if you should bless with the tongue. That is, if you should use a foreign language to express the blessing and the good things of God, and someone is in your midst who is occupies the place of the uninstructed. Interesting, it's the word idiot in the Greek text. Idiotes. Somebody who's unfamiliar with what's going on, with what's being said. In fact, later on he's going to say the uninstructed are going to think you're mad. But if somebody occupies the place of the uninstructed and he hears you blessing God in some language, that is, you're speaking the wonderful works of God in some language, and he doesn't understand this. He does not know what you're saying. How can he say amen? Now, I've been in this situation as well. I've gotten into a situation where I was involved in a chorus of saying amen to things that I didn't even know what the guy was saying, because saying amen was just a response you make in church. Somebody would say something, you go, amen. I'm glad no one stopped me and said, you just said amen to that, what did I just say? Because sometimes it was just habit. Amen, brother. Amen, that's right. Amen, preacher, brother. Amen. And you get yourself in such a frenzy, you don't even realize what the guy is saying anymore, because you got yourself going and you got him going. I can remember, and I don't even know what tape it is, but we had a Bible study here one time, and we had a couple. They sat right here in the third row. They were visiting our church. They said, amen. They shouted hallelujah to just about everything I said. They had me going. I was walking, and I was preaching. I was having a great old time, you know. But I know they didn't know what I was saying, because what I was talking about was the opposite of what they believed to be true from the Bible. But they were saying, amen, brother, hallelujah, preaching. And I was preaching it. And they were working themselves into a frenzy by saying amen, and they were working me into a frenzy in preaching. How can you say amen to something we don't understand? And if somebody comes in and they're uninstructed in the language in which you're speaking, how are they going to know what you're saying? There's no development there. There's no ministry there. Verse 17 is the second verse of his defense. He says, first of all, You're giving thanks well. He actually compliments them and encourages them. You're giving thanks to God well in your giving of thanks. But the other person is not edified. He is not developed. He does not grow in the things of Christ. It has nothing to do with growth. Therefore, if the purpose in the church is growth and development, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then why spend our time, and this might apply to everything, why spend our time on activities and events that do not minister the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ for growth? It's a waste of time, as far as priority goes. Here's the concept, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, Paul says, and I love the way he says this. He says, I give thanks to my God that I can speak in tongues more than you all. You see, he's not bragging. It's just that the person who is the expert, if you want to use that word, the person who can speak in tongues more than them all is the one who is correcting this problem. Too many today do not believe in the speaking of tongues, and so they give correction. And when they're asked, have you ever spoken in tongues? No, and I never will. It's of the devil. Agreed that most of what is going on in the church today that is called speaking in tongues is not what the Bible's talking about. But usually it's by somebody who's scared half to death, doesn't understand what's going on, and just says everything's of the devil. Because these don't get it. You know? Paul says, I am ministering to you and teaching you from a standpoint of, I thank my God that God used me to send this correctional letter, and I thank God that it's somebody like me who can speak in tongues more than you all. But, look at verse 19. Here's the kicker. In the church, I desire to speak five words with my understanding than to speak myriads of words in a tongue. He says the reason for this is I desire to speak five words with my understanding and so that you can understand, so that you may be verbally instructed than to speak myriads of words in a tongue. Paul says you're praying in the Spirit. You're singing in the Spirit there in Corinth. Let me tell you, true spiritual prayer and true spiritual worship involves both your spirit and your mind. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the church, there is a priority, whether it's prayer or ministry of the Word of God. Paul says, I'd rather just stand up in front of the church, in the church, and just speak five words so that everybody can understand and be verbally instructed than 10,000 words, myriads of words in the tongue. That's the concept. Paul is not saying tongues is not for today or that tongues is not for the believer, to that God will not do that through you. He's setting up the priorities. He's setting up the profitability of believers gathering together. He's setting up the priority of prayer and even the priority of praise. That it involves your spirit, but it also involves your understanding. To understand what you're praying, to understand what you're singing, to have an interaction that's going on with the Lord, not only in your spirit, but within your mind. So that what we're thinking and what we're doing is all expressed to Him. That it's not something, some spiritual experience where a spirit comes upon me and takes me outside of my body and outside of my mind, and I experience a euphoric experience and I am no longer myself. That's what the pagan mystic religions celebrated. That's how they conducted themselves. Paul is correcting that. Next week, the great section that we've been leading up to, verses 20 to 25, the purpose for tongues. It's the only place in the entire Bible where there's actually instructions about tongues itself. in verses 20 to 25 that we'll take next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd help us to see and understand true freedom. Help us to see that freedom today is expressed by some to mean totally beyond yourself and outside of yourself. To have a free expression through your life and in your life and to your life that does not involve thinking. Help us to see that true freedom in relationship is both in our heart and our mind. Not the psyche, but the perception of understanding the things of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we have the mind, the nous of Christ. Help us to see that the priority of our fellowship together in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to function from our spirit, where Christ dwells, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch our minds so that we might perceive and understand more about Jesus Christ and more of the working of Your Spirit in this earthly life and in our personal lives. To know You, to see You, to perceive You is what life is all about. We pray that You draw us into this intimate fellowship with You. Help us to see Satan's only weapon is to occupy and distract the attention of our minds so that we cannot understand or know the things of Christ. Even though spending our time in Your Word at the beginning of a week, after we've been tired from the weekend and the week, sometimes can be boring, even tiresome for the flesh, help us to see that Your Spirit is working to cause us to grow in that grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That we are being changed and transformed by the renewing of our mind, by exposing ourselves to Your Holy Spirit ministering through Your Word. We thank You for that. May we say, like Mary said to the angel, "Behold Your servant. May it be to me according to Your Word." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.